Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, July 31st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Big tech has had a week. The CEOs of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google all videoed in for a hearing on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. And yesterday, all four companies reported their quarterly earnings, sending their stocks soaring. Our global tech editor, Jason Dean, will join us to recap after these headlines.
Engine ignition, 2, 1, 0. And liftoff. As the countdown to Mars continues, the perseverance of humanity launching the next generation of robotic explorers to the Red Planet.
We previewed it, and yesterday NASA launched its latest Mars mission from Cape Canaveral. The Perseverance rover is now headed to search for signs of life on the Red Planet. The rover is the third Mars-bound spacecraft to take off this summer alone. China and the United Arab Emirates have already sent their own missions, and Russia and the European Space Agency will follow in 2022. If you want the deep dive on what they're all planning to do there, check out our interview with our science writer, Robert Lee Hotz, from yesterday. Also getting set to launch, the U.S. Air Force is working on a software-based satellite system. The first of the system is set to launch in February. Here's our reporter, Sarah Castellanos.
Basically, the Air Force is trying to put a computing infrastructure in orbit so that their satellites can be smarter. So currently, it takes about a decade to build and deploy satellites, and they mostly rely on hardware, which means that once they're in orbit, it's really hard to make them more technologically advanced. So they get outdated very quickly. So the Air Force's plan is to build a constellation of satellites up to about 36, they say. That would be mostly software-based. So that means they could do continuous remote updates on them, just like your phone gets updated with like the latest software that makes it smarter, and also similar to the way that Tesla cars get updated.
And Huawei is now the world's largest smartphone maker. Riding the economic recovery in its home market of China, Huawei pushed past Samsung to claim the top spot. The move comes despite harsh restrictions from officials in the U.S. They allege that the Chinese government could be using Huawei's equipment for espionage. Huawei and China deny those claims. Up next, between a major hearing and a flurry of earnings reports, it's been a week for big tech. We'll touch on the highlights after the break.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
First, the CEOs of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google went head-to-head with lawmakers in a blockbuster antitrust hearing on Capitol Hill. Then, the committee released a trove of internal documents detailing how exactly they built their case against these companies. Yesterday, on the heels of all that, all four reported their second quarter earnings. Spoiler alert, in a time when many other businesses are struggling to survive, big tech is still doing pretty well. Here to break it all down is our global tech editor, Jason Dean. Jason, it's been a week. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, Jason, let's start with the latest news, earnings. What were some of the highlights from yesterday's reports?
Well, three of the four companies whose CEOs testified on Wednesday had just blockbuster numbers. Amazon had surging revenue and a profit that was a record at a time when people weren't even sure it would report any profit because it has spent so much money dealing with the logistics of the pandemic response in its warehouses. Apple's results also surpassed expectations. Facebook, which has not only been dealing with the consequences of the pandemic, but also with a series of controversies and an advertiser boycott, also showed strong growth in its business. And, you know, Google was kind of the outlier. It had its first decline in quarterly revenue from a year ago. in the history of the business, but it was a slight decline and it still performed better than analysts had expected. And its stock even edged up afterwards. So all in all, it was a remarkable show of economic and business force by these big tech giants.
What does that tell us about big tech? Are they a bellwether for how the rest of the tech industry is doing as a whole? Or are they really in a category of their own?
In some ways, they are. There are other companies that throughout tech that are experiencing similar gains. If you take cloud computing, for example, the remote work phenomenon has driven cloud computing growth, which was already, you know, extremely strong in recent years, to new heights. And that's benefiting other companies that, you know, were not mentioned so far, including Microsoft, of course, as well as smaller companies like Zoom, which does video conferencing software, as everybody now knows. There are other companies in the tech industry that are also struggling, particularly those that have been in the recent wave of giant startups in the sharing economy. So Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, those companies have really struggled because their businesses are so built around people actually leaving their homes and, you know, hailing rides or staying in other people's houses. So there definitely are parts of the tech industry that are suffering more than others.
So like we mentioned, these reports are coming just a day after the CEOs of all the big four companies appeared before Congress. That was a hearing on the antitrust concerns that lawmakers have. They were really hammering on these companies for squelching competitors. And they cited a lot of the Wall Street Journal's reporting, by the way. Your team really broke a lot of those stories.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable to see just how often the Journal's name came up in that. You know, I think in particular, recent reporting by Dana Mattioli, our reporter who covers Amazon, has really dug into its competitive practices toward smaller companies, third-party sellers, as they're known, that use its platform to sell their wares, but that it also competes against with its own private label products. Overall, I think, you know, I'm sure that the CEOs of the big four companies involved here were very glad that these events were sequenced the way they were and not the other way around, because it would have been probably a lot harder for them even to go through the 5+ hours of testimony they did if it was the day after these remarkable earnings that just underline a lot of the concerns that some of the lawmakers had about just the enormous clout these companies have.
Yeah. And looking forward, the reporting, the hearings, could that clout be in danger here? What are some of the headwinds we're seeing?
Well, it will depend in part on, you know, whether that hearing turns out to have been a kind of a watershed moment. It certainly was an incredible spectacle. Whether that translates into congressional action to clamp down on these companies and their power, or, you know, leads to or feeds into action by the various groups, including the Justice Department and the FTC, state attorneys general, et cetera, who have been doing their own investigations of the big tech companies. If there is new legislation or regulatory action that has real teeth, you know, that could definitely affect these companies. At the same time, the trends that we're talking about don't seem likely to, you know, stop anytime in the foreseeable future. I mean, the digitalization of our lives and business, the way we go about things and do our work, is just going to continue. And these companies are really well positioned for that.
And what about politically? We saw that come up at the hearing a lot as well.
Politically, these companies definitely face some headwinds. It was clear from the hearing on Wednesday that, you know, the concerns among conservatives have only grown about what they see as bias by the platforms in the way that they handle speech on their platforms. The companies deny that and say that they address everything in a nonpartisan way, and that they're merely trying to, you know, maintain civility and fight misinformation and that sort of thing. But it's definitely a major issue for the Republicans. That said, the Democrats are not particularly better disposed to the big tech companies right now. And one of the probably alarming aspects of all this for the companies is that both Donald Trump and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, who don't seem to agree on much of anything, are united in their antipathy towards big tech for different reasons, but they both have said they want to clamp down on these companies. So that's a headwind.
A lot of the questions that lawmakers were asking were based on internal documents that we mentioned, some of which have now been released. I'm assuming your team is going to be digging into those. What will you be looking for?
Yeah, well, the issues they were asking about by and large weren't new, but some of those documents hadn't been made public before. So we've already written about the revelations in there about Facebook's dealings with Instagram prior to its acquisition of that company in 2012. And in particular, Mark Zuckerberg's dealings with his counterpart at Instagram. You know, some conversations inside Facebook about that deal that certainly in retrospect seem to buttress the concerns of the lawmakers who say that deal was in large part about getting rid of a competitor as much as it was anything else. Obviously, Facebook says that's way too simple and is something that, you know, looks a certain way in hindsight that it didn't at the time. But it's pretty clear that also that they, you know, would prefer those documents not to have come out for understandable reasons. The companies don't always say in public what they say in private about these issues. And that disconnect is really the heart of the matter right now. So everybody, I think, is trying to understand better what the internal policies are, as well as the positions that they state publicly.
All right. We'll be watching for what you find. Our global tech editor, Jason Dean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. As always, we've got more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. Our supervising producer is Christopher Zinsley, and Kateri Yoakum is our executive producer. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.